saw a major tectonic shift in economic world power, and Putin and China just scored another devastating blow to the West. Plus, the United States Congress just announced a 10-point plan for war with China, so we know where all of this is going. On top of it, Germany officially entered a recession thanks to crazy Russian sanctions. We'll get to all of the major news updates in a moment. And on this Memorial Day holiday, it's worth remembering that you'll be able to tell your kids how the United States went from being a global superpower after World War II, but then in the years that followed, decided to stoke a World War III with Russia and China, which led to the collapse of the U.S. and the U.S. dollar. We are watching it unfold in real time right before our eyes. But first, overnight, President Biden and Congress agreed in principle to print more U.S. dollars, avoid the debt ceiling default, and expand the U.S. debt ceiling beyond the $33 trillion that we're currently sitting in national debt.
It appears that both sides compromised. Biden gets the debt ceiling raised for 2 years, and Republicans cap some government spending.
Way to go. We've now expanded the amount that we can go into debt. That's a win-win situation. More printing of fake U.S. dollars to pay our bills. What's a few more trillion among friends? I mean, enemies. So this means the U.S. can continue to borrow money from China to pay for war in Russia. See, we borrow money from China and then we funnel the money to weapons manufacturers in the United States through a brilliant money laundering scheme called the U.S. National Defense Budget, as if we're defending anything at all. Do you guys feel any safer? If you feel safer, let me know in the comments. I'd be surprised by that. In other words, we're expanding the debt ceiling for 2 more years. We will be $40 trillion in debt by then, probably. By the way, just a funny side note, America is the country that gives out credit scores for its citizens. America, which is $33 trillion in debt, has the balls to give you a credit score. Oh, the irony. Well, it says here, Sally, that you have $3,000 in credit card debt and you have some student loans. And 5 years ago, you missed your water bill 1 month because it didn't show up in the mail. I'm going to give you a credit score of 620. So, you know, good luck getting a mortgage for that house that you want to buy. I mean, the nerve of these people. But this week, something much bigger happened that got almost no attention in the mainstream media. At least one newscast barely covered it, while everyone else was covering the debt ceiling drama.
Well, the U.S. dollar has typically been the currency of choice when different nations want to trade with each other.
But some countries have been shifting away from tying their currency to our dollar. Last month, Argentina announced that they would start paying for imports using the Chinese yuan due to their shortage of dollars. And Brazil followed suit, announcing that it will allow companies to trade in yuan as well.
Yes, the alliance of China and Russia just scored another victory away from the declining U.S. dollar. At a meeting of the BRICS nations, more countries decided to abandon the U.S. dollar. The countries of Laos, Pakistan, Argentina, Brazil, all now moving away from the U.S. dollar to settle transactions. And instead, going to China's yuan. Oh, and I left one minor country off the list. Iraq. Yeah, freaking Iraq. Imagine that. They don't love us anymore? After all, this is the country we invaded. We invaded you. We killed 1 million of your people, innocent people, your civilians. And now you're abandoning the U.S. dollar? How dare you?
Countries across the world are ditching the U.S. dollar. Tonight, we want to tell you about how it's playing out in West Asia. Iraq has become the latest country to dump the U.S. dollar. Iraqis are now banned from dealing in the greenback.
And in the same week that Iraq says, hey, they're done with the United States dollar, the United States announces they're building a new military base in Iraq, in the oil-rich part of Iraq. I mean, you really can't make this stuff up. Ditch our dollar, and we will build a frickin' military base right on your oil fields. Meanwhile, Argentina and Brazil, two of the largest economies in Latin America, they're both moving towards using the Chinese yuan more in their trade with China. This is a major development.
It seems China has declared a war on the greenback. Beijing is striking deals, strengthening trade ties, and asking partners to switch to the yuan to settle their bills. First, Brazil made the switch. Now Argentina has entered the club. Argentina will use the yuan for trade with China, and they'll start this month.
The dominoes are falling, guys. There are a number of reasons why Argentina and Brazil are moving towards the yuan. First of all, China is a major trading partner with these countries, both of these countries. In 2022, China was Argentina's second largest trading partner. And it was with Brazil, it was the largest trading partner. Second, the yuan became more widely accepted around the world. And third, the U.S. dollar is becoming far less attractive as a reserve currency. All you need to do is pay attention to the debt ceiling drama over the past few weeks to learn that. The U.S. dollar has been the world's reserve currency since World War II, but the massive U.S. trade deficit, the massive U.S. national debt, and we just told you about, are all major factors of this decline. But something bigger is at work, an economic World War III, the likes of which we haven't seen before. And I mean never at this scale, with this much on the line. You see, back in March of 2022, the mainstream media ignored a huge move by Putin. He made a major announcement in his country, and no one covered it in the West. He suddenly unleashed a plan that was in the works for more than 10 years. He told his people to go out and buy gold and silver, go out and buy precious metals. And oh boy, did they. By the gallons, they snapped up record amounts of gold. Putin unleashed an economic attack unlike anything we've ever seen before. But it didn't happen on the battlefield. Instead, it happened at the banks. Washington was fast asleep while this happened, and they didn't see it coming. What Putin did was issue an announcement that Russia had changed the government laws, which now made it more attractive for the average Russian citizen to buy as much gold and silver as possible for their families. The banks had a run on precious metals. There was a shortage of it in Russia, basically sold out of silver as well. The move by Russia was designed to reduce and ultimately eliminate dependence on the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency that's used in Russia. Move to the ruble because it's tied to commodities like gold and silver and oil and other precious commodities, solidifying their relationship with the BRICS nations, Brazil, India, China, and South Africa. The U.S. fought back, issuing what they thought would be bone-crushing sanctions. It backfired because Russia has actually things that people want to buy, i.e. oil and natural gas. This week, we learned that oil and gas exports to China have now exploded, meaning Russia's need to send gas to Europe is fading very quickly. In fact, Russia has basically replaced its entire European output from their Nord Stream pipeline flow to Germany, sending it instead to China and other BRICS nations. And in the same week we learned about this, Germany officially entered a recession. The largest economy in Europe just crapped the bed.
And it was all down to the consumer. The consumer spending less on goods, spending less on food and beverages, spending less on furniture, on shoes, new cars, you name it, spending less across the board.
I wonder why they're spending less. Because they can't afford to buy anything. Turns out when you blow up their pipeline, that has real-world ramifications. People need to figure out how they're going to heat their home, and they don't have the money to do it. Here's the ultimate question we need to confront right now in the West. How long can the United States and Western countries continue this financial charade? The West has no commodities. They're sitting on them, but their climate policies are keeping them from pulling them out of the ground. Europe is producing none of its natural gas. The U.S. is producing virtually no lithium, uranium, cobalt, or any other list of commodities. China, Russia, and Brazil, on the other hand, the BRICS nations, control all of the commodities. And the West controls the money flow. See what they did here? They built their economies around good old manufacturing and commodities extraction, while the U.S. outsourced it. And now the chickens are coming home to roost, and you're watching this collapse in real time. That's the news update part of this holiday video.